Blog Talk
Radio. You're always the first one.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Facebook and hello, Blog Talk. I finally caught everybody together. I am getting really good at this. First of all, I want to say thank you for joining me this evening. You know how much I love Tuesdays and Thursdays because I get you twice a week. Well, actually, three times a week. Thank you for being there. Our numbers are going. You're breaking me beyond. I'm still excited about my million hearts. So you know, a good leader is never satisfied with yesterday's victory. So now we need a million more. And listen, you did that in only a couple of months. So I'm telling you, God is doing great things. I thank you for going back to re-listen. We get hundreds and hundreds of re-listens every single week. And thousands and thousands. We're reaching thousands and thousands of people every single week. Can you imagine that? Every week, thousands and thousands of people. God is good. So I want to thank you. If I have any of my overseas people, let me know where you are so I can greet you because I love knowing how far and wide we are reaching. Have a question. I have a question. It is now time for you all to begin to work with me in this project. I want to know, so listen, my team is ready to write it down. I want to know how many of you are using the Apostolic Christian program. I want to know if you're using it. If you are, I want you to tell me how long you've been using it and what's the best part about it. If you haven't, then you need to go to my website, drpaulaaprice.com, to find out how to get on the Discipling Apostolic Christian train. I want to hear from you all who are using it. From now on, I'm going to ask you, that's going to be your weekly test. Did you disciple any apostolic Christians this week? If you did, let us know. Tell us about it. We want to hear. I will read it out loud because we want to know. We're going to read your name and your church. And listen, don't exaggerate because I really am who I am. Okay, don't play with Dr. Price because Dr. Price really is who she is. You realize that if I can do all of this, I do a whole lot of things. I have enormous abilities. So don't play games with me because this is not something that we want to give God false credit for. We want to let everybody know that it's working. We want to let everybody know that you are getting on board and that he is multiplying apostolic Christians every day. So as I start getting feedback from those of you who are doing it, those of you who are using it, you say, Dr. Price, I got my book. Great. I want to know. Dr. Price, I've read my book so far. I want to know. I want to know how we're doing in this campaign called Discipling Apostolic Christians. Tonight, you're going to love it because I have a little bit of a surprise for you. So, and by the way, surprise me. If you haven't told your friends to get on board, your pastors, your teachers, evangelists, and five folders, three folders, take a minute. Call them on the landline. I know we don't use those much any longer, but call them on the landline. Page them. I've got a couple of us may still have a page or two, a little dusty. But however way you can, let them know that Dr. Paula Price is on Periscope, Facebook, and Blog Talk Radio, and we are going to explore apostolic Christianity and wisdom. Hallelujah. So do I have any takers for my challenge? I want to know if I have any takers, because I don't want this to be a passive experience, because there are enormous things that come along with getting on getting in line. I'll say it like that, getting on the train with what God is doing. When God does a new thing, it's kind of like buying into a new stock and a new product. Those first in get the first string. You know, God is the God of the firstborn and the first fruits, because God is, well, he's about first. So if you are part of that, I want to hear it. Facebook, let me know. If you've gone there and said, you know what, I ordered that book. I started reading. It was really great. And if it's not great, I'm just going to tell you to send it to my little chat back, and we'll find out what that's all about. But I want to tell you why this is important. And tonight, when we're done, you're going to find out so much more about it than you ever did. So before I get into the class, let's see, I covered that. DrPaulAPrice.com. If you didn't get your book, it's called Discipling Apostolic Christians, Book 2. Book 1 is right over here. You do want to get Book 1 so you can find out what A, B, and C really mean, because they're more than the alphabet. So you want to get book one. You then want to get book two, because this is what you're going to use for your church, for your intercessors group, anyone that you think are ready. Now, let me say this. I don't even know if we still have them. I'm thinking maybe on Facebook. Go back a little bit and find out about the section that I read on how to find out or how to recognize if God is calling you to this. This is not for everybody. I am so all right with that. This is for whomsoever God has called. But an apostolic Christian is a very unique type of Christian. First of all, I want to say again, when we say let's go back to the early church, or we need to go back to when we first believed or when we had our first love, we're talking about back being apostolic Christianity. Isn't that good? Back is literally saying we want to go back to apostolic Christianity. That's what this book tells you, because apostolic Christianity is what began the church. Not prophetic. Prophetic Christianity or prophetics actually founded God's nation. We need them. And on Thursday nights, we talk about the power of the prophet. When we're here on Thursday nights at 8 p.m., we talk about the power of the prophet, the history, the longevity of the prophet. And we need it. That's why 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. So, you need to recognize that God's divine order is not what we've been calling divine order at all. Divine order means what it says, how the divine orders life, how the eternal maker orders life. So apostolic Christianity is the first Christianity. Before we had Baptists and Pentecostals and evangelicals and even Catholics and all of that, you know, before we had the Methodists, and all of those are fine. Dr. Price not knocking any of that, because let me tell you something. I want this man to have everything he has. I am a firm believer that God diversifies. I do believe it with all my heart. But I believe that our diversification should not fall into elimination. And so what the church tends to do is when we diversify things, we eliminate others. I'm trying to unify. I'm trying to coordinate. That's what I want to do for you, and that's what I want to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but I want to make it plain that all of that grew out of apostolic Christianity, because every Christian that is born again by the Holy Spirit of the living God, according to the gospel that is in our testament, brought to earth by the Lord Jesus Christ, began their Christianity apostolic. If you haven't heard that before, take my word for it, or just read your Bibles. You know, it's there. The apostles preached the first sermon. It was an apostolic message. If the first soul winners were apostles. Isn't that good stuff? Don't you know that's good? It's so good that I can't stop saying it. So I'm going to say it a lot. Get accustomed to it. This is great stuff. The first gospel message was preached by an apostle. Not an evangelist, not a pastor, not a teacher, not even a prophet. And they are the ones that told us Jesus came. The first gospel message. He was the first to take the gospel to the Gentiles. The first leaders of the church, apostles. Why? Well, we've been talking about that. Listen to earlier shows. Go back. If you don't hear them on Periscope or Facebook, guess where you can get them? Blog Talk Radio. Go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, hallelujah, and click and see how this all turns out so you can catch up. And, you know, on TV they say get caught up. So if you go to Blog Talk, it's a definite catch-up. You can catch up on everything that I have taught about apostolic Christianity. It's there for you to listen to. Now, you won't get the pictures, but glory to God, you get the message. So that's what I want to tell you. If you began your Christianity in Jesus Christ, and if you didn't begin it in Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. I don't care what anybody says, you're not a Christian. That's like somebody saying that they're my natural-born sister and didn't come out of my mom's womb. Tonight, I am going to read to you, those of you who got your book, I'm going to read to you from page 108, Unit 7, Secrets Kept Hidden Since the Foundation of the World. Secrets Kept Hidden Since the Foundation of the World. And the point that we want to talk about here is going to be the Genesis of Christianity's genesis, core sequence, the Godhead taps its gene pool to make Christians, and Christ's salvation is procreative, and Christianity is hereditarily defined from heaven down and not earth up. Now, you know, if I didn't read anything more than that, you'd be excited. Wouldn't you want to know what that means? What does it mean to say that Christians literally come out of the Godhead's gene pool? Can you say that? Have you ever told anybody that? But that's what the scripture says. That's what the writings in the epistles say. That's what Jesus said. Born from above, born from his Father. I am my Father in one, as I am, so are you in this world. All of those things that make us unique have nothing to do with the church we go to, has nothing to do with the preachers that we love or don't love. It has nothing to do with all of the rules and regulations. All of those things have to do with making this thing survive on earth. Has nothing to do with keeping Christianity in existence. You cannot stamp out Christianity. We talked last week. I think somebody got to tell the truth. I mean, that you can't stamp us out. You know why? Because we're born by the Spirit of the living God. And, you know, I realize that we have all of these little fun statements, you know, God's not dead or God is dead. When people say that to me, I say, well, who killed him? Do you ever ask people who killed God and who found out he was dead? And then who investigated the crime? Y'all following with me? And then who had the funeral and then who took his place? And whoever took his place would have had to be his maker. Because if he was first, then he would figure out how not to be gone. So when they say, just because God is dead to people doesn't mean God is dead to creation. All creation declares the glory of God. God has built in self-perpetuation from his own existence. So if God isn't dead, because I still say who killed him, he's like, well, I'm not saying that, but if you start out with God is, then we have to, and then that means there has to be somebody that defeated him. So who killed him? You know, I kind of think of that as like as dumb as that question they start the philosophy class with. If a tree falls in the forest, will you hear it? Do you need ears for the trees to make a sound? See, Jesus is a sugar. Isn't he a sugar? He likes stuff like this. This is great. So, I just read to you 4 points of Christianity, so let's look at it. Among Christianity's deepest secrets, our Genesis as the Godhead's offspring is the most perplexing and the most precious of them all. From the very beginning, the Almighty intended to reproduce himself because he wanted a family. That's you and me. We fam. Before you had a natural family, you were a part of the family of God, even if you were just in seed form. He placed us in his first begotten son, Jesus Christ, to expedite the process of replicating himself throughout all his worlds and endless ages. As creator, the Lord desires offspring from everything he makes, angels, humans, and only he knows what else. The way he, as the Almighty, determined to extract his family from the earth is through the blood of the cross and the lost soul's faith in it. Now, remember, I told you, lost doesn't mean lost to you, lost to your family, lost in space, lost on earth. It means lost to the Godhead's genetics. It's lost in Christ or lost outside of Christ. So, a most profound mystery indeed, and there are many, many more like it to be discovered. Laying hold of the truths of our Creator's lineage clarifies Christianity. His story is the taproot of our God's only transcendent mysteries. It is the stronghold of the Christian life and the basis for Christ's stronghold on us. Amazingly, the Godhead's gene pool reproduces itself in the Christian's genetic code. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Now I'm going to say this because, you know, I got critics. You get those. That comes with it. And keeps the critics keep you smart. So I got some of those. So let me just tell you, there was a time we couldn't see blood until we created instruments to see blood. We couldn't differentiate blood types until somebody figured out that if you put it on certain instruments, they would clump differently. There was a time we did not see electricity. There was a time we did not see microwaves. There was a time we did not see a lot of things, like we didn't see sperm, we didn't see eggs. There was a time, but they were always there. They were always there. And if they were always there, they were waiting for us to discover them. So you may not see Christ in the Christian with the instruments of the mortal world, but when you get real smart and you start checking it out, you're going to find out our genetics did change. Because genetics are triggered by your spirit, because the spirit is in the male seed. The soul is in the woman's egg. So when we come up with the instruments, you're going to find that's going to be interesting. But anyhow, I'm going on. Y'all rolling with me? Are they rolling with me? Because y'all, you know, you all, Jesus is my sugar, but you know y'all have become my sugar too. So you know that. You better get caught up with it because this is who I am and this is what I feel about you. We are family, and Jesus is our honey, and he is our corporate universal honey. So we'll all call him sugar. We'll all call him honey. We'll all call him sweet thing. We'll call him sweetness. We'll call him anything that makes us, that lets him know we are grateful to him and we're proud of him. You know what I say to Jesus in my prayers? I say, Jesus, I'm so proud of you. I tell him all the time, Jesus, I am proud of you. And you know what else I say? I say, and I admire you, sweetheart. You are amazing. The things that you've done, and you still love us with an endless love, an everlasting love. You better know that man's my sugar. And you know what? I got a sugar that won't die. I got a sugar that won't go broke. I got a sugar that won't break down. I got a sugar that won't get sick and won't get old. I'm telling you, I like the earthly ones, but baby, it's nothing like having one that you'll enjoy forever. He's a honey man. And I say that. You hear me here, but if you heard my prayer closet, you'd, oh, my goodness. Well, but anyway, ask my team. They'll tell you. My team will tell you, no, Dr. Price, this is not showtime for me. This is sharing. So moving on. Amazingly, the Godhead's gene pool reproduces itself in the Christian's genetic code. It does so because the Lord had never intended his children's conversion to him to confine itself to convert faith alone, as it is with other religions. Religions and faiths originating in this world come short of the supernal excellence of Christ's reproductive redemption because they enroll their followers to enlist them into their religious faith. They do not beget offspring, which are replicas of their deities. Now, you know that's good stuff. Isn't that good stuff? I'm excited. Oh, Lord, I'm excited. You know what? It's a shame I'm only through. Boy, we would be shouting up a storm right about now. I'd be running around here like a crazy woman. Yes, I would. Is that not exciting? Boy, that's some good stuff. I can't help it, you know. They try to behave over there, but I'm telling you, we all about to go off here. I'm about to take off like a rocket. Are you kidding me? I have the literal genes of the Almighty God. I got born again by the God of creation. That man didn't just want to wash me in some blood and dip me in some water and teach me how to light candles. That man made me into his very own substance. I belong to God because I am born of God. I'm not born again because we had a hot night and a great experience or we survived some trial and trauma. I'm born again because the Spirit of the living God planted his seed in me the same way God Almighty planted his seed in Mary. You know that's some shouting stuff. Y'all not shouting yet? Y'all shouting? Come on now. I need to know there's a shout going up in this. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless his great name. You know I'm excited. The sugar stuff. I got to get to the rest of it, but I got to get my shout out right now. I got to get my shout out. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That man is awesome. Woo. Okay, I'm trying. I'm trying, but I'm not forcing it. I'm not suppressing his praise. I will not suppress his praise because he's my sugar. Now you know why I call him sugar. Are you kidding? We're in the Godhead tree. Now, you might not understand that, but when you buy this book, because I know y'all slow in getting it, but y'all need to get this book so you can understand how to defend your faith and why your faith is worth defending. The reason you have the faith of God is because you have the genes, the genetics of God. Now, God made everything. But see, there are things that when we first come in, hallelujah, we come in man-made. We came in handmade. See, God made us from the dust of the earth handmade. But when we're born again, we are sperm-made. We are the literal genetics of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we were in him when he got on the cross. We were in him when he went to the grave. We were in him when he defeated Satan. We were in him when he rose from the dead. We were in him when he ascended on high. We were in him when he poured out his blood on the altar. As a matter of fact, you know, the blood has to do with our birth, our reproduction. Come on, somebody, you know that. And then on top of that, we are in the Holy Ghost when he came rushing from the altar, the temple of God, into the planet to bring us in to rejoin our mortal souls so that God would keep us until the day of redemption. So let me tell you something. You cannot be an apostle and not preach this man's gospel, and you can't be an apostle and not preach it in a way that got people shouting. I don't have to be in your house. I don't have to be in your living room. I know you're shouting. Some of y'all are dancing all around there because you thought this was a hopeless faith. You thought this was a useless faith. You thought this thing was all about your candles and your little lights and incense and you're running around, your little hair bonnets and your little doilies. It was never about that. It was about God replicating himself. God literally pulled off the greatest coup you could ever think of. He snatched us right from the heart of death while we yet move. We didn't miss a beat. This man is awesome. Come on, somebody. We better praise him. I'm going to stop in a minute, but I'm going to get me a praise up out of here today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he's my sugar. Woo! I don't say it for effect. I say it as a reflect. I can't help but praise him. I got to love on this man. Are you kidding? I went through hell, and I could tell you it's been horrible, but you know what? Every time I turn around, he said, but you know you're like me. I said, yeah, I am, aren't I? He said, so get over it, get up, and get back in the race. I said, all right, I'm in. Shook it off and went on. Yeah, didn't I excite you? I should. Every time I've been, oh, God, I'm helping me, Savior of the world, Rabboni. You know what? Got to love on this man. I can serve him. And they tried to push me out, blackball me, and all of that. Do you know what? It only made me stronger. I am invincible today because I decided not to drop out. I just dug in. I dug deeper. I didn't sell out. I dug in. Love this man, and I will do this for him forever. Amen. He cannot ask too much of me. He cannot ask me I don't care if he got mad at me. I told him the other night, you can get mad, just don't quit me. You can get mad. You can correct me, just don't quit me. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'm going on. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for it. Did you see I'm leveling off? Did you see that? I'm coming on down. I'm trying. Now, don't tell me. See, y'all messing with me out there. That's why I can't stop, because you all are messing with me. Stop it. Quit that. Quit that. You think we don't feel? You think just because we're over the internet that's not moving? We move in heaven, honey. Heaven is having a blast right now. They having a party, and y'all are messing with me, so stop. Come on, calm down. Come on now. You know, I got to go off now. Come on. Stop that. I hear you, mothers. Quit that. Come on. Come on there. Please. The man is awesome. It's a sugar pie Jesus. Woo, my God. Honey, I'm glad. I traded up, baby. I didn't trade out. I traded up. Are you kidding me? I went up to the next level. I fired my daddy's deity and went up to my Messiah's. Woo, come on, somebody. Y'all love my honey. You better know I love him. Come on, Jesus. I don't know. I know you're right. It got me all wound up here. I can't even move on. You know I got to go on to the next thing. But honey, our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. He's a sugar pie Jesus. That's why I can talk about him. That's why I can praise him. That is why I can love on him. I don't care. You hurt my feelings. Give me a Kleenex and a piece of Jesus and I'll be all right. Love this man. Love him. He picked me up over and over again. And somebody needed to hear this. Honey, go ahead on. Have your little kids. Get your Kleenex. But then wrap your arms. Wrap your praise. Wrap your worship around that man. Because God is worthy. Woo, hallelujah. Lord Almighty. God, I can't even get my thing to go right. Come on, somebody. Work with me here. Hallelujah. Yeah, it did. Jesus is praising. He's having a blast. That's what that's all about. I'm like, come on, King Jesus. Now you got to loose me here. I want to tell you something. I got some more good stuff for you. Okay, now try to pays to do anything. Is it doing anything there? Well, it's not moving here. Okay, there it is. She said people are still having church. I know, because you didn't think we could have church over Periscope with just me. But you know what? I am church. I am church. I bring fire. I bring the fire. You know what people say to me? Well, you know, Dr. Price, we don't have you in because you too deep. Are you kidding me? I'm a sugar. That man's my honey. Baby, I'm going to tear up the place because you know what? He has given us something awesome. You know why I know where the King's gene pool is good? Do you know why? Because we were in him before the foundation of the world. We were in him. When there was no heaven and there was no earth, there was an us in him. Just like when there was no you, there were you and your mama and your daddy. Oh, I was in him. Baby, we were already in the divine. Are you kidding me? That's why God knows those that are his. Said the Lord knows those that are his because he knew the ones he put in Jesus. We were in him before the foundation of the world. And when he became, you know what's so good about this? Science really helps us out. You know what's so great about this? Oh, yeah, come on, somebody. Hey, Jesus, I'm passed out. I'll shut up, old cousin. I can't find myself, Lord Almighty.
Someone said I write it
up. No, that's right. Come on here, baby. I know, and I'm going to be going, I'm going to dictate to your tongues. Oh, yes, I do. And you know what? I got it by being smart and intelligent. I didn't have to put my brain down. I didn't have to get dumb. As a matter of fact, it's because I kept getting smarter that I understood what he really did. And the smarter I got, the more I appreciated him because I understood. Oh, no, you didn't do that. Oh, come, you better stop. Come on here, Jesus. Yes, I did. I would read my Bible, and I'm all by myself. 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, oh, no, you didn't. Tell me that's not what you did. You sugar pie man. Yes, he is. He know he's sweet. Honey. And so how do I know it? Because when he came to earth, when God put the sperm of Christ in that virgin's womb and said, thou shalt have a male. You know, it cracks me up. All of these people said, well, God could be a woman. If he was, he didn't want to be around long because women's eggs die. So he built in his own obsolescence. That's why I know he's a God. Hallelujah. Come on and love on him. Yo, smooches, come on. Yeah, I know. I was like, are you kidding? 40 years old, we sitting here praying, now our clock ain't stopped. 90 years old, the guy has a one-night stand with a 20-year-old woman, got a whole new life. Come on here. Menopause stops, whether you like it or not. Why would he give himself menopause so he could pause creating? So I know God's a man. And isn't it wonderful that it takes a woman to say it and she's not intimidated? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? But you got to be smart to understand how precious we are to him because he loves his daughters and he loves his women. So when God put Jesus in Mary's womb, can I say it like that? When God put Jesus in Mary's womb, I can't even help myself. Do you know what? All the sperm for a man to reproduce is in the infant. Isn't that great? We were in him when he was an embryo. We were in him when he was a fetus. We were in him, and in him. I told you, that's why I know. You got to know if we were in Christ and our souls, our spirits that were in him had to connect with the egg that would handle our souls and thus enable us to be born from above. Come on. Then we had to know, I know good and well, Jesus was not a fornicator. He did not have a girlfriend. He did not have a one-night stand. Come on, come on here. Now I'm telling you scientifically and genetically why he didn't do it. I don't care about what those old theologians say. He didn't do it because if he had one ejaculation, he would have lost millions of Christians. See, because he was a custodian over what he carried. He knew he carried sperm that was going to change the world, and he's going to be a custodian over that thing. Not like today, you just throw it in the toilet, throw it down away, whatever, dump it down in the sewer. That's not it. But when you are a man or a woman and you know that you are marked to produce something of destiny, you don't waste yourself. And that was free. Because your genetic material is more important than anything else you got, which is why hell keeps wanting you to waste it. Oh, but because you're not about to shout again today. I'm going again. Oh, Lord, help me. Ah, so if you look at your screen, we don't have a screen. I had a screen. Did I do it again? Oh, I got a screen view here. Yeah, it's supposed to be reversed. So wait a minute, I got it. Hold on, I found out what I did wrong. I'm so smart. See that?
Yes.
See that? Did you see that? The mind of Christ. I am one who prizes and treasures the mind of Christ. Wisdom calls apostles and prophets. Wisdom. Wisdom. Did you see that? Wisdom calls apostles and prophets. Luke 11:49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Wisdom is what calls us. That is why for us to say, well, we get, well, I'm an apostle because I feel like it. You have to, the hallmark of apostleship is uncanny, unusual wisdom. Phenomenal wisdom. You don't even know how you know stuff. People will ask me questions. I'm like, God, I don't know what the answer is. But you know, you can't do that if you don't study. So if you look at your screen, it says, you see the little button, wisdom, intelligence, and perspective. That's our campaign. We are going to be wise Christians manifesting God's intelligence or the Logos intelligence, and we're going to change our perspective on what we think Christianity ought to do. And in that way, we disciple apostolic Christians. Moving on. Premise of this study. Oh, I love this. Do you see that? Premise of this study. Number one, apostles are smart. If they're real, they're smart. If they don't make sense and they sound convoluted, you got one or two, three issues. One, they're not an apostle. Two, they need some training. Or three, hallelujah, they are not really trained or studied. They don't really know the office. So they don't have, their faculties aren't awakened. So I don't want to say, because I'm not quick to say this one is or this one isn't, because that's why I designed an assessment. Because I designed an assessment, I can say that. And number three, God's wisdom calls both to office. Wisdom, thus says the wisdom of God. Over and over again, Paul talked about wisdom. Wisdom again and again. Here's the last one. So wisdom defines apostles and prophets. Prophets brought us the Old Testament, remember? Hallelujah. And then apostles brought us the new. Generic, I'm talking about in a general mantleship way, they did it. Now, what does the above mean? You're going to like this. The above means that genuine Christ apostles and prophets produce smart Christians. Isn't that good? So, you're not, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. Can I go out on a limb and y'all not snap it? I've been doing this for how many months? A few months now. And have you noticed that I keep making you smarter in God? You are already smart on your job, probably smart in school. But my job is to make you smart in God. And I can tell you so you can defend him from his enemies and his adversaries. Half of you all have brilliant spirits that have yet to be connected to your intelligence. An apostle or prophet is supposed to connect God's eternal wisdom to your human intelligence. That's why he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's why he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why he said, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus also be in you. See, did you understand? This is not just a heart thing the way we've been teaching it. We've been teaching you that this has all been about the heart thing. And then the group before that taught you it was all about the head thing. Well, what if we married the two and had whole person intelligence? What if we did that? Do you know that in Scripture, the heart is credited with being as intelligent as it's credited with being emotional? And that the emotions that come out of the heart are supposed to fuel your intelligence? Did you know that? this is too good. Now, you know that's good. Wasn't that good? I'm making a case for smart Christianity. We're not going to walk around here and say, I don't know, the deep things belong to God. My Bible says deep calls unto deep, so if it belongs to him, it belongs to me, because he called me. He's deep. He called me to the deep. And I go in with him, too. I go all the way down. Okay. There are days he gets me so bad. I'll tell you, listen, I got to share this with you. There are days that God will give me these revelations. He'll give them to me, and I'm like, wow, Jesus, that is wonderful. I'm out. The man has taken my mind and took it down the road. I wake up, and I go to sleep. I wake up, he has processed it in my understanding, and I have it. I have it. When you are in the right kingdom education class, number one, you are hungry for knowledge. If you're not, then we have to recognize that you are as good a Christian as any, not apostolic, not prophetic, because apostolic, prophetic people have to be in the know. They are nosy. They're inquisitive. They're inquiring, and they demand answers, and they don't let you off the hook for not having them. Yeah, any of y'all out there like that? Am I talking to any of you all out there like that? Because you want to know if this is you. Wisdom defines the disciples of apostles and prophets, not recklessness, not rashness, not hastiness, not fickleness, not feebleness, not irrationality, not hot-headedness, not impulsiveness. No, wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same, but they are interdependent. So, I make a case for smart Christianity because when I went to God, I found out the man was smart. I was like, oh, you smart. Can you imagine a dumb mortal telling God he's smart? Now, you know I needed some education just to say that and with boldness. Brazenness is a better word. So, blueprint for apostolic Christianity, wisdom. You see that on the screen? Blueprint for apostolic Christianity, wisdom. Now, I want to leave it up there enough for you all to just, did you see a little light bulb for ideas and innovation, the little question mark for information and inquisitiveness, the little wrench and hammer for assembling and making things, and then we got the little house for the temple of God. And you see over here, we got the little magnifying glass for inspection and verification. You're supposed to be smart. You're supposed to be smart. You all been sitting under apostles all these years. You're supposed to not fail in your job, not fail in your school, not fail in your class, not get passed over, not get thrown. That's not how it's supposed to be. When my folks come to me and talk about I'm trying to do so-and-so and I'm not making it, the first thing I say to you, back down, because you're not going to tell me my mantle don't work. Mine works. Oh, you're going to make this. They call on the phone. When they call on the phone, like, oh, no, that's not God, because God wants to show off. He wants to show his children off. He wants to show his family off. So look at this, four-point apostolic Christian advantage. I know, don't I get a lot in this hour? Did you hear? We had a church, we had praise, we had a sang, we all passed out, danced a little bit, stand up, praise the Lord, and then we get a little education because God always taught. You know, you have these people that say, we went to church and all we did was worship and we never preached. That's not Jesus. Jesus had some of the highest sermons in the world, and then afterwards he sat down and taught them, sat down and taught them. Why? Because he knew once he got those devils out of the way, cleared their head, lifted the fog, he could impart some things and deposit some things in them because he cleared the way for his wisdom. Okay, ready? All right. 1 Kings 3:8, and all Israel, this is about Solomon, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. For listen to why they feared him. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. We can't make good decisions. We can't even make good life choices because we don't have the wisdom of God. You know, when I'm training apostles and prophets, it's mandated that they read the book of Proverbs, and they got to do it at least three times. When people say, I can't figure out how to do that, read Proverbs. The anointing of wisdom on Proverbs will break the yoke off your mind. I'm telling you, I did it. When I'm the first long assignment my prophets have when they have to be trained is Psalm 119. Ask Prophet Ashley about Psalm 119. Because your job is to be God's judgment discerner. The next one, 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it's not human wisdom. I'm not talking about wisdom that's not normal to us. If it's easy for us to figure out, you can rest assured it's not God. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. God purposely conceals it because he has a real adversary that wants to distort it. So that's what the mystery is. And also the second reason for the mystery is because our brains are darkened. He has to enlighten us. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained. I love this. Get with me. Come on. We can go there again. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Shut up, Osa. Which God ordained before, that's the prophetic piece, before the world for our glory. God ordained. We think the wisdom I'm talking about is not something we figured out. As brilliant as God made people, science, wonderful institution, they've done an amazing job of tapping in and breaking things open and whatnot, philosophy and all that. I'm talking about that which God ordained, hid, kept hidden until a certain time in history. Think about it. Daniel's praying. He's fasting. He's begging God. And what does God send him? He sends him the angel Gabriel with a piece of the archive. And Gabriel begins to tell him things that the world could not know unless God's angel brought it. Jesus brought to earth what the world could not know. The Holy Ghost brought it to earth because we couldn't know it. All we were learning was devil wisdom and devil arts and wizards and warlocks and witchcraft. Oh, that's all because everything that we needed to know for life had to come from the kingdom of life and light. The kingdom of darkness and death can't do anything but make you give you a PhD in dying. Hallelujah. I mean, come on, what are we talking about? These people help do. Think about it. They give you lessons in drinking so much that your kids are killing themselves. Lessons in immorality to the point that everybody walking around swapping diseases like crazy. That was normal. That's not new. That's not liberation, and it is not modernness. That's not modern life. That's ancient life picking up. It's reinventing itself in modern people, contemporary people. Read your Bible, folks, before you say that God is stuck up and all of that. You need to read what his problem was. Apostles and prophets will always, if they're genuine, will always ask what was God's issue and what are his motivations. Because if you don't know his motivation, then you will never profit from his education. Last one, Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God's wisdom has always been reserved for his own people, his priests, his prophets, his kings. He said to Israel, I'm going to make you a nation that's going to be an envy of all nations because of the wisdom that you have. When they see the wisdom that you have, when they see the judgments that you make, they're going to envy you. Why? Because you have the judgments of life, the judgments that give life. That's what God gives. God's commodity is life. It's all about life and light for God. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. You can't give people all of these dark prophecies and then figure out and then tell them to go ask God. God's like, don't tell them to ask me. I didn't tell you to say it. You're going to send them to clarify something that I didn't give you to say. Yeah, well, he is what he is. And the man, look, principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Everything we do, folks, is not just about earth. Did you know? Do you see what Ephesians 3:10 is telling you? Read it yourself in your own Bible. Everything we do is not just for earth. Everything we do is for all creation. God's got angels that have to be shown that the church was a good idea. God's got people, a whole civilization, who have to see that he pulled it off. Those people who stayed in heaven when that war happened and it was a mess, they're still waiting around. God's got the 24 elders who are saying, hey, we banned fruit down there. Okay, Most High, so we knew you were right, but it sure is good to see your fruit. Oh, hallelujah. Are you all hearing this? Are you getting that? It's so important to me that you get this. You know why? You cannot love somebody and not love their children, love their family. You can't say you love God and then you hate the kids. You can't do that. You can't marry a man or a woman and talk about your children make me sick. Because then you don't really love that person, because when you do, you love everything about them. I tell Jesus all the time, but I love everything about you. I love your ways. I love his thoughts. I love it all. I don't care what he does. He gets disturbed. He's not disturbed. He's happy. He's glad. Whatever. If it's important to him, it's important to me. And what's important to him right now is to have his family aware of what he and his father's been do and what they've been doing all these years. It's important to him. Okay, I'm coming to the end, so I don't want to miss this because you're going to love the end. We're coming to the end. Blueprint for apostolic Christianity, apostolic Christians think differently. Apostolic Christians think differently. You can hear the difference in me coming on here every Tuesday, every Thursday. We think differently. What do we think differently about? First of all, we think differently about God. God's not a nuisance to us. God's not an offense. He's not a noose around our neck. God is a privilege. God's an honor. And you know why I think that? Because this man, listen to this. This is good. Listen to this. Let me get some water. I've been shouting crazy. Let me get a little water. Maybe that'll clear my throat. Let me tell you about this. Our God. God has billions of people on the planet, and yet less than a third of them know that he exists. And he is okay. God's not any less God because people don't believe him. You know, I mean, that's just really something. You know, when people say that, well, I just don't believe in God, the fact that we are even having this discussion tells me that you had to process that somewhere. Somebody had to process that. Just like us believing in him has been processed. God has billions of people on the planet who don't know that he exists. And then out of those who do believe in some sort of God, they call him a tree trunk, a bird poop, a storm. They call him, you know, the king that we have acts of God. God, the only acts God can do is evil. Come on, somebody. That's crazy. They call him a spoon. They call him a wispy this or that because they don't know. Mars Hill is still alive and kicking. He's still the unknown God, and until we make him known, nobody can. The beautiful thing about Jesus, though, is that Jesus, because he is a citizen of this planet and the other, see, because as the son of David and the son of Abraham, he's a citizen of the world, and then as the eternal Savior and Sovereign, he's a citizen of God's world. So Jesus pops in when he really wants a soul, and he shows up. I'll do this because you guys are slopping. Let me go get this person because this is going to slip through my net. Hallelujah. Isn't it fun to think about him differently? We think about God differently. It's fun. Lastly, three powerful acronyms. Wisdom requires thinking differently about life. Well, how are we doing? We think intelligent, we think defense, and then we have tools of wisdom. Wisdom has its own tools. So let's look at it. I am an acronym person, so let's look at this. Number one. Witty. The word witty, we've just demoted it to being cute, funny, and jokey. That's not how it started out. Wit equals knowledge. Wit equals intelligence. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. I'm not afraid for you to trace me. I'm really not. I've been at this thing since 1982. That's a long time to give 24/7 almost into this. I don't know a day. I told you I only have 2 days that I remember me and God didn't talk. Two. And one of them I was out because I had surgery. The other day was because he was testing me, And I had to let him know, don't do that. Don't do that. I need you to talk. I don't care who doesn't want to hear your voice. I want to hear you every single day. I want to hear you when I'm right. I want to hear you when I'm wrong. I want to hear you when I'm sick. I want to hear you when I'm not. I want to hear you when I'm angry. I want to hear you when I'm glad. I don't care. You are my God. I need to hear your voice every day. So I keep him busy. The next one, I for ingenious. God is about you having an awareness of the ingenuity of his eternal world. Everything that we see in our world today once was not, but it became ingenuity. Somebody bought into the ingenuity of creation, and they did more with it than just pray over it and prophesy. Subtle. Wisdom is always about the subtleties. The wisdom is subtle. You're almost like, I don't know why I even know this. I don't know how I know this. The next one, devices. Wisdom is always about coming up with strategic and ingenious ways to make life work. It's always about the optimal. After you have tried this, fail, say, that's why wisdom is at the end of the line. I don't care how long you've done this or that. Wisdom takes the time it takes. It's because wisdom is not a textbook. Wisdom is exploration. Wisdom is failure and successes. It's bounce back. It's resilience. It's losses and it's wins and understanding why. There are reasons. Sometimes God will make you lose so you can get the wisdom on how to win. Lord, you told me to do this. I did. But why did you tell me to do it if I didn't win? Because you didn't know how to win. Well, then why would you tell me to do it? So you can figure out how to win. But Lord, that doesn't make sense. Well, it's how we do things. Maneuvers. Life is a bunch of maneuvers. M-A-N, always handling the ways of life, the ebbs and flows. Defense. Details. Experiments that are found to eliminate and neutralize the sabotaging elements or episodes in your life. You like those? And the reason I can do this quickly is because I believe in technology. I really think you can go back and listen to it again and again and again. Last one, workable, executable, actionable, performable, operable, normalizing systems. Wisdom is about being intelligent, about knowing how to defend you. Ecclesia and Proverbs, they all talk about wisdom being a defense. Ecclesiastes says wisdom is a defense like money is a defense. But the excellence of wisdom excels money because it gives the answers to life and tools. God's wisdom is workable. You know, you ever have people give you that kind of advice? You're like, what? I don't get it. When you say, what? Executable, you can carry it out. You can do something with it. You can act on it. You can perform it. And you can operate. It teaches you how to operate your life. And you can normalize the abnormal things that keep popping up in your life. And, of course, ultimately you'll come up with a system of living or a scheme of life. Well, Prophet Ashley, how are we doing?
Fantastic.
Well, we're going to let her come on over because I've been talking and shouting. I love you guys. I want to thank you. Well, I think I have a couple more minutes, but we'll talk about some of those things in a moment. Come on over. But we're going to give her some time to share some of our announcements and what we have going on and maybe some of the things you all have been saying. That could be nice, too. Hallelujah.
Oh,
did you get a shout?
Goodness. There was a lot of shouting and praising and running and screaming and falling out going on. It was obvious that you were having a good time tonight.
Yep, me and the king.
It was a come through apostle, come all the way through.
Yeah, me and I'm bringing the king.
That's right. We have our announcements this evening. Of course, ABCs of Apostleship 1 and 2. We are going through it in our church here in Tulsa. Yes, we are. And I'm excited about teaching this, learning it. The best way to learn is to teach. I know Apostle Suzanne Howard's church will be going through it as well because
and they're in Connecticut.
Yes, the Apostle's House in Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut. They're going through it as well. At least so they will be. I saw that float up through.
But the reason I say that is because if you want to learn it, then you need to know the churches that are. That's why I'm doing it. If this is something that you want to be led through it, then you need to do that. And then don't forget Chicago. I mean, Joliet, right?
And Joliet, of course, Apostle Mona Parker, you know, she's number one on the list.
Yes.
I have to say about this book, I'm teaching it at church for some of the rotation. And you have to get this book. It explains our Christianity. It explains our origins. Just chapter one alone, I was preparing for a Sunday last night and studying, and I blew in Dr. Price's room. What time?
Late.
For the second time. I did. I was, like, knocking on the door. This book is amazing because it is in plain language. You can all understand it. Break it down and just walk away going, oh, that's how we got here. This is how we got to bishops being in charge and not apostles and apostles dying out. That's where that came from. You will be able to articulate your Christianity, your salvation, and what you believe in, and not just defend it with passion, but to defend it with articulation and intelligence. Thank you, Dr. Price,
You're very
for writing
welcome.
That book. We appreciate it. I'm thanking you for everybody.
Amen.
We want you to go to abccscampaign.org, www.abccscampaign.org, to get your free ebook. Free ebook. Free ebook. How to Become an Apostolic Christian. Dr. Price wants you to get this so much. She is giving away some of it for free.
Yep.
That doesn't happen, people, okay? All right, I just want to let you know. So you'll get your free ebook if you go there, download your promo materials for your website, your Facebook. Switch out your banner on Facebook to promote this, and your starter kit, only $65. Book one and the workbook, book two, two bonus audios, and the article for that. We want you to do it. Go to drpaulaapprice.com.
Is the book just for apostles?
No.
No, the book is for...
No,
go,
let me read
go,
it.
Go, go, go.
Go ahead, go ahead. Talk,
me,
talk.
Me, me.
Okay, she's
okay.
There.
Okay, I'm there. I'm still there.
Well, it says congregational.
I know, it does say congregational, but sometimes, you know, people say it's for the saints and it's not. All right.
Go for it.
Unit one. This is where I was at last night. I was all up late in the book myself. This is for every single Christian on the planet.
The planet.
Every single one. An apostle is going to run down 10 streets on this. You as an apostolic saint are going to run a lap around your church when you read this book. First statement in Unit 1, did you know that you are right now, today, an apostolic Christian? You know what that means? That means this is for you, the apostolic Christian. Well, it is true, she said. If you are born again in Christ Jesus, according to the word of God, you not only became a Christian, you became an apostolic one as well. This is how this book is written, okay? It's written to you. It's written to me. It's written to the teenagers in your church. It's written to your kids at Devos around the table. It's written to the pastor teaching it to his congregation. If you want to introduce the fivefold the right way to your congregation, this book is for everybody. I wouldn't lie. I wouldn't joke. I'm not kidding you. It's the truth. You want to order your book today. I think we got a box in the office.
Today.
That came, our own shipment for our own church. As we go through it, she has all kinds of lists explaining this. When it says ABCs, it is really ABCs. The breakdown, the fundamental breakdown of this very essential foundation that we're still standing on today. If you have never been able to articulate before why apostles are not dead, you will be able to do that before the end of Unit 1.
That's true.
Ding! And I know, because that's where I am. That's my obviously shameless plug. That's a great question. Thank you for everybody who asked that, and thank you, Minister Norma, for letting that question be made known. Get your book, ABCs. You will pick this up. You will find yourself reading it on your lunch break, reading it in your car. Don't read it while you're driving. Okay? Be safe. Be smart. You will find yourself reading this at night when you think you're tired. You're going to sit down and open this book, and it's going to awaken your spirit, which will awaken your flesh. So don't think that you're tired and you need to read your word to go to sleep, that this is going to knock you out. This is going to wake in your Christianity.
And again, drpaulaaprice.com. Now, when I get back with you next week, I need you to tell me that you got your book and you're making, you're discipling apostolic Christians. This is a team effort, folks. I need you. And I'm not one of those preachers that think this is a one-sided thing. We are a team because we're family. Who else is going to let the world know that we're part of the Almighty's gene pool, that we are filled, we are built from his genetic tree? Boy, there was only three of them now, so, you know, that's a big deal. But this book will tell you that. So we're running out of time. I will see you Thursday at 11 o'clock for the Paula Price Show, 11 o'clock Central Time, and then Thursday night for Prophetic Ed, where we're going to talk about activation. Dr. Price, what do you teach about activation? You don't want to miss it. It's going to be powerful. Until then, I love you much. God bless.